So we're presenting from this Bhagavat Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam. And probably most people know that there's the Vedas, Sad Darshan. Patanjali has his school of philosophy. Jaimini has Karma Mimamsa. Astavarga is Vishesh. And Vaisheshika, that's Jaimini? Jaimini, no, Kannada.
Vaisheshika Kannada.
Kannada, yeah. So there's so many different philosophies in this world. And somebody may just have this hedonistic philosophy that life is just meant to eat, drink, and be happy, because tomorrow you die, like that. But somebody else will say, well, maybe you're not going to die. Maybe you're going to have to, you know, have experiences after you leave this body. In these Western countries, who's the most original philosopher in these Western countries? Probably the most ancient of all the Western philosophers. Socrates. Yeah, Socrates. One philosopher said, after Socrates, everything else is just a footnote. So when he was about to leave his body, because he said, you must either leave Athens and stop preaching this philosophy of bhakti yoga, or else you must take poison and die. And see, so he said, I would rather die than betray my philosophy. So he was waiting with the poison, and then he said, okay, can I take the poison now? And then his disciples looked at each other and they said, well, how can you be so sure that you aren't the body? How can you be so sure that, you know, when you take the poison, you're just going to die forever? How can you be sure there's a soul? So he began to give so many different examples and so many arguments. He says, this body is very fine. I mean, so much things come out of this body. Poetry, music, temples, ornaments. But the body itself is made of bones, blood, urine, mucus, excrement, hair. So where is this fine thing coming from? So he says there must be a soul. There must be something fine which motivates the body. So his disciples said, well, that's okay, but what about a violin? A violin is made from, you know, cat guts, the intestines of a cat, wood, glue. And these are all gross things. And so then you get very, very fine thing out of it by this, you know, this arrangement. So Socrates said, well, it's a very interesting argument. And unless I could actually convince you that it's false, I shouldn't be called a philosopher. And whether you make your body out of, you know, intestines of cats and wood and glue, or you make it out of DNA or RNA, it's still the same argument, you know, that something fine is being produced. So Socrates said, it's a very interesting argument, but you're forgetting one thing. And he said, what's that? He said, the violin maker, right? He puts it all together in this fashion. Otherwise, it's happening by chance. Well, that's something else, you know, whatever that means. You know. So he goes for a long, long time. And they have many arguments and counter-arguments. And these arguments have been the basis of all Western philosophy. And we find the same arguments by these Jaimini, Astavarga, Kannada, Patanjali. Same arguments about whether or not the soul is different than the body. It's eternal. So finally, in the whole conclusion, Socrates says, okay, do you have any more questions? Or can I just take the poison now? And his disciples look at each other and they say, Socrates, in your presence, nobody can have a logical argument that the soul is the same as the body. But even though we logically can understand that we're different than the body, we're still afraid. And he says, just like a little child, you're visiting your sister, and the children are put in some separate room, and the mother shows them there's no monsters under the bed, there's no monsters in the closet. You may have this experience yourself, but when your mother closes the door and goes out, and you hear some noises, you're sure there are monsters under the bed. Yeah. So same way, they tell him, Socrates, we're afraid still, even though logically we understand. So when Socrates says, yes, by gyan, you know, yeah, you can't come to a perfect conclusion. You have to apply the words of a self-realized philosopher every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Right? Somebody who has realized his relationship with Krishna. Hanuman. He knows his relationship with Ram. You know, he didn't exactly know what was happening with Ravana and these kind of things. It was enough for him that Ram and Lakshman wanted this. You know, he came to the ocean, he had to cross it, and he didn't try and think for a long time about some plan. He just said, Jai Ram, and did it like that. So he has his relationship, you know. And by talking with him, hearing from him, then we can also stimulate that. So this is the whole purpose of Bhagavad culture. And we're talking a little bit about this project, which A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami undertook in 1961. And we're developing the same project, and we're here in Houston, actually, to try and inspire people. We have the beautiful art back in the back there. These are some of the paintings that were actually on display in Lima, Peru. And it's so attractive, the mayor came, the press people came, the police came. There are 48 different paintings that were done. And this is our job. Krishna is beautiful. But Krishna, when he's not surrounded by his potencies, like the gopis, you can't perceive him so well. But when he's surrounded by his different potencies, his temples, his ornamentation, his devotees, then people begin to see, oh, Krishna is very beautiful. So making nice paintings, organizing nice programs. But why? So people can appreciate Krishna. Or Ram, you know, Nrisimha. So many incarnations of the same Lord like that. So we're here, and if anybody a little bit later wants to talk to us about this project, we're actually developing it here. We have our own nonprofit corporation, North American Institute for Oriental and Classical Studies in Tennessee. And we're trying to develop these kind of study programs, academic programs. We're negotiating to have an accredited master's degree with Vanderbilt University, which is our neighbor there, on world classical literature. So besides being an engineer, you can also have a master's degree in world classical literature. Why? To satisfy your own mind and to inspire other people. By studying Srimad Bhagavatam, one can defend himself against the onslaught of atheists and be able to convince others of the existence of God as a concrete fact. You know, just by studying the Srimad Bhagavatam in the proper fashion. It's the essence of all the Vedic literatures. You know? So I have this very nice program going on. And I think this is about our basic idea. You know, we'll be here a few more days like that. You know. And so I don't know, does anybody have any questions now? About anything? we can answer any questions about anything. Like that. You, sir, there. No? Everything's clear? Okay. So we want to thank everybody very much. And, you know, we want to also thank you especially for this opportunity. It's a very, very beautiful temple and very, very nice spirit with the devotees here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. No switch.